Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on radio.com app. It's Sam and Greg on a football Sunday morning. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Wow, that's breaking up, man. It's Mr. Crenshaw's going to give us at some point here soon a game day. Game day Sunday morning, which we're going to wait for because you got to get it special. Got to give a shout out to those folks again. We've reached out to everyone. We want to hear from you, but the ones that regularly seem to get back to us, Sam, and those firemen over at Paulding County Fire Department. Okay. Brandon and the boys over there, they got us on and they're listening to us. And so they said morning to us. So for you, I'm saying morning back to them. And all the frontline workers, all the fire departments, all the emergency personnel around the city. Anybody who's listening to this show, man, we want to hear from you and what you do and what you've done during this craziness. You know, we don't want to get off that. And some folks, you know, they were bright and shiny right there in the beginning and talking about it and kind of got away from it. And we've slipped a little bit, too. So I want to make sure I continue to pump that up. And if I do slip, please let me know, right?
Yeah, they're still getting the job done. They're still getting the job done for us, and we appreciate all the people on the front line and, you know, everyone, healthcare, fire department, police, people who are doing the things just to keep us safe and those things during this time period that we're dealing with and during this time of this virus and the people who've been on the front line for the testing. Right. And been administering them, and they're all over the city right now, places you can go and be tested. So many people require it, so many people are wondering, and there are people there who are willing to do it. They're gonna put everything they got to put on, a big smock or whatever they have to wear, or shields over their faces, but they're there to get you what you need so you can hopefully have some peace of mind and have know how things are with your health. And
you know, the crazy part there. The crazy part about that shield thing is we obviously saw that with healthcare workers in hospitals when the virus hit. But I'm telling you what, over the last few weeks, I've not heard more comments about Andy Reid when he wore it on that first game where Andy Reid wore a shield on the sidelines, and because it was so smogged up, he couldn't even see it. His breath was covered up the front of it so bad.
Yeah. But people talk about it. He needed a windshield wiper or something.
Oh, on the inside of that. Anyway, on this 27th day of September, man, 27th of September, for everything that has slowed down in our world, it just seems like this year is whizzing by. Summer is gone. And it's happened so quickly. But on this 27th day, we take a second. Happy birthday to your girls. Is it Samoa Halep? Simona Halep, the tennis player?
Simona Halep.
Yes,
Alonzo Spellman, Steve Kerr, Mike Schmidt, rest in peace, Dick Schaap, would have been his birthday today, Johnny Penske, the Penske pole at Fenway Park. But I really wanted to mention this one to you, Sam. I don't expect you to know who she is, and I didn't know who she was either, but Mammy Peanut Johnson. It is her birthday today. Do you know who Mammy Peanut Johnson is?
I think, is this the lady that played with the Indianapolis Clowns?
Man, see, I knew I wouldn't hang around you for nothing. You are dead right. on. You are. That's the first female pitcher, baseball player, female baseball player to play in the in professional baseball. She played in the Negro Leagues. But, yeah, that's who that was. Peanut, how did you pull that one out?
Hey, man, just do that every now and then.
You are one of the two great people in this conversation. Anyway, let's take some time and talk about talk about some football. And you were, you had a great tease coming into this segment, man. You were talking about as we were on the heels of Gale Sayers and his achievements and who he was. And I had mentioned that that statement that he made attributed to him where he said, you know, just give me 18 inches and that's all I need. 18 inches of space and that's all I need. And I said, that's the first self-promoter I can remember hearing about in baseball. I mean, in football.
In football.
You, in professional football.
Sports. Yeah, but obviously we've heard it in, you know, in fighting. We had it in boxing that time with Ali. You've heard it in some other sports. But as far as the NFL goes,
especially,
there hasn't been much of that.
There wasn't. And especially for a guy who gets hit. You can hear some boasting from guys who do the hitting on the defensive side.
Yeah,
but you didn't hear much trash talking from guys who were the ones who got hit. I think the next person that was a self-promoter like Gale, it didn't happen for a few years later until Joe Namath came in.
Probably so. I mean, he made the guarantee, but then he also, by that time, there was an NFL media machine starting to take place. You know what I mean? The NFL media was starting to really kick in, and he was in New York.
Right.
And so many things that he had at his disposal. But you had the guys, like you said, the guys that did a lot of the trash talking with the defensive, the Deacon Jones.
Exactly.
The guys like that.
You know what I mean?
Those guys would go to talk it, and you weren't going to say anything back to them either.
Hey, let's play a little game here real quick. Can you name the fearsome? Let's talk about some teams, that the defenses that were named. Can you remember the fearsome foursome, the guys? Just the front four, yeah.
Greer, Lundy, Olsen, and now missing one. And Lundy is the one most people would forget.
That's right. Well, Lamar Lundy, you got. You said who's the other one?
Rosie Greer.
Rosie Greer.
Merlin Olsen.
Merlin Olsen. Well, you got him then. And then the fourth one is Deacon Jones.
Deacon Jones. Here we go.
There you go. How about the Purple People Eaters? Minnesota Vikings, for those of you who don't know, another great defensive.
I got three of them: Marshall, Eller, and Page.
Yeah, that's about all I got. The defensive coordinator. That's all I got too. The defensive coordinator for the Purple People Eaters was Buddy Ryan. That's where he came from before he landed in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
So you know he knew some defense.
When we talk about self-promoter, we had one of the greatest self-promoters the NFL has ever known. Here in our city, and it's hard to believe it's been 30 years since Deion Sanders landed here. It was that he rolled into this city in this stretch white limo and announced that time had arrived in Atlanta, and he was going to be a difference maker, and he was definitely that. Well, this week he arrived in Jackson, Mississippi, not in a white limo, but in a big SUV. But they made a big deal about him coming in as a head coach down at Jackson State. And we're doing this during the NFL time because that's the thing that he's really aiming to prove. And I think he's doing it, and he's the one person who can really attempt to do this with some validity. Not just because he was a great player, because he has the brand. Deion Sanders has a brand. There are a lot of HBCUs who've hired ex-NFL players as coaches. Tyrone Wheatley is now the coach at Morgan State. You don't hear much about them, but I mean, he's a guy who had a great college career and played in the National Football League. Deion Sanders is more than just a great, you know, NFL player. He's a guy with a great brand, and because of that, he's going to attract the kind of attention and support. And the thing of it is, doing it for the money. Jackson State doesn't have enough money to pay this man to do what he's doing. They don't have enough money to pay him, and so he's there. He got
some good assistant coaches too.
Some assistant coaches coming down there with him, guys who've accomplished great things in the NFL. A lot of people question, is he going to be doing it? And you turned me into something that Bomani Jones this week was questioning, whether it was going to be all about him or all about the players. And I'm thinking, you know, he doesn't have to do this to get the spotlight on him. Deion Sanders gets the spotlight wherever he goes. And we mentioned last week, you said he's going to do this to go to coach. Florida State, which, oh, by the way, Florida State.
Oh, please, they look terrible.
Lost to Miami ever last night.
That was terrible. They look terrible. You
know, but, yep. But he doesn't want to do that either. He wants to prove that you can come to an HBCU and still be prepared and get your shot at the NFL. Something that.
Miss Crenshaw. Oh, there you
schools
go.
In order to get to the NFL. And, okay. And so I think that's a, you know, a myth that he wants to say isn't true. And, you know, I think the timing is doing it during this time of this movement that's happening. And some people may not want to call it a movement. I'm old school, so I call it a movement. You know, you're going to get young men who are going to come down there and step out of this line. There's this line of everybody does the same thing. He's going to encourage them to step out of line and do something different and try something different. It's going to be a sacrifice. You're going to sacrifice running out of that tunnel with 90,000 screaming people. You're going to sacrifice having national TV deals for your games. You're going to sacrifice those things, but he's sacrificing because he could be doing something else to make more money. So, I mean, I think he's going to attract people. I think he's going to get checks from people. And I tell you who I think one of his first checks is going to come from, Jerry Jones. I think there are a lot of people who don't know the people who are presidents and athletic directors at HBCUs, but they know Deion, and they'll invest in his brand. Jackson State has a lot of needs. They need a stadium. They're currently playing in a municipal stadium that the state of Mississippi wants that property back. They have on the drawing board for a stadium for quite some time. They need to do this. Deion Sanders did not have a degree until last month, and he got his degree from Talladega College, and a lot of people don't know there's a college in Talladega, Alabama, you know, but he got his degree a little over a month ago. And
all right.
So
can
he
I
had
stop
to have
just
that to take a job as a coach.
Remember,
remember, coaches are teachers.
Right.
Coaches are teachers.
My and question so, to you is, don't you find that strange that he didn't promote that? That wasn't universally known, at least in the sports world here in America, that Deion, one of the most famous athletes this country's produced, finally got his degree. We see that all the time. We saw that. I'm trying to think of who was it? Was it Vince Carter? That X amount of years ago, but it was shortly after. Was it after he retired or during his career, where he went back in the offseason and got his diploma from North Carolina, and him walking through the ceremonies with the students. My point is, when you have a name like his and you get an achievement like getting your college degree, you would think that would be something that would be newsworthy. And I didn't hear it. You had to tell me that. Well, I didn't know that.
In normal circumstances, it would. But what's been normal about the last few months, Greg? Nothing.
I understand
it. You know what
it.
I mean?
I understand so, it. I, but I mean, listen, there are people who would believe, and I may be one of them when you think about it and slow the conversation down, that what's more important in his life? When his family looks at what daddy did, are they going to have a higher standard of respect for him because of the college degree or the Super Bowl rings?
Well,
you know what,
though? He wants to keep up with them because his kids are college age now. And so, okay, daddy is going back and finishing his degree right as his kids are. He said it's one of the things he hopes to have in the next few years is them all stand together holding up their college degrees. Along with his children.
That's a great picture. So, I agree. I'm surprised that he didn't make it public as much as he does everything else. That's all I'm saying. I just would think that would be something that he would put out there.
I'll tell you what he has made public is to go for top tier talent. And he's in Mississippi that has a lot of junior colleges that a lot of schools in the SEC and the Big 12 funnel guys in who maybe need to tighten up their grades or maybe have had some off-field discretions. Those guys end up at those schools, those junior colleges. He's going to put a fence up around those schools. Guys in Mississippi. This week he offered a kid from Mississippi who was committed to Mississippi State. He's coming to Jackson State. He's pursuing a guy who's committed to Georgia. It's one of the people he made offers to these people the very first day. He intends to get guys with big time talent to come and show that it can work at an HBCU, that it can and it can still have their dream come true. Now people think, what about the academic side? And I hope he is lining that up because people are going to watch to see how his players perform academically and how they graduate. So I think that's something he's took this week, Greg, that make me feel good about what Deion's doing in Jackson. He got together with a group of men who are in the community, probably working with at-risk young people. He's going to save some lives. He's going to turn some lives around, too, in addition to getting these guys who are aimed at the next level. And then he took a picture with the clergy, the people with the churches in Jackson. He's plugged in there. He's going to get a net for these people, for these young people, when they come and surround them and give them the support that they need while they play there and learn the game and hopefully, you know, get their academics in order as well. So I like what he's doing. But Monty Jones, whatever, poo-pooed the fact he needs to come sweep around his own house over at Clark Atlanta. They play football in a city with a huge African-American middle class, and nobody knows when they play. Ramona, come to Atlanta and do something about your own place. That's my talk to him.
All right. Well, again, it was just a good listen. That's all I was going for. We are going to continue talking football. In fact, we're going to talk about what's going on right down the street here with a guy who played, well, down the street, around the corner. Chris Draft hasn't been with us for a while, former Falcon and former Chicago Bear. He's going to join us next. We're going to talk about the game, and then we're going to go around the NFL before the end of this hour before we turn things over to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, which takes over at 9 o'clock. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. And then, of course, countdown to kickoff today. That show will be followed by a pretty good game and very interesting to see what happens when you get these Bears 2-0 and everybody up north thinks that it's a done with smoke and mirrors, and the Falcons coming off the game they had this past week. So, again, I don't know how to dissect that. But I gotta clean something up before we bring our guest on, and actually it's a perfect lead into him. I misspoke when I was talking about Chicago Bear quarterbacks. When I said Bobby Lane, the guy I was thinking of was Sid Luckman. That was the one who went back.
Okay.
Luckman. Okay. But, I mean, you had guys like, you know, you had George Blanda was a quarterback for a while. Jack Concannon. Bob Avellini, Vince Evans. Remember Vince Evans? His brother played quarterback there. He played forever. He was the guy who played up until McMahon took over. But here's the connection to Atlanta. Bobby Douglas. Bobby Douglas held a record, held an NFL record until an Atlanta Falcon broke it.
Yeah.
Bobby Douglas had the most yards.
A lot of people didn't realize that.
Yeah, he had like 900-some yards he accumulated. Rushing yards as a quarterback. Yeah. Held that record forever until Michael Vick showed up. So, again, Sam and I were talking earlier about
we got one of his former teammates here.
Yes, we do. That's what I was leading into, and this is how I was going to do it, as we welcome our guest in, Chris Draft. We were earlier, if you're just joining the show, Sam and I talking about Gale Sayers and what he meant to me, but also talking about the Bears back in the day. That 65 draft had not only Gale Sayers, but also Dick Butkus. Both joined the team the same year. But my question to Chris is, first of all, we hope he's doing well during this craziness. We haven't talked to him in a while. But Chris is a guy who not only played for the Falcons and a few other teams, but he came out of Stanford and he arrived up there at Lake Forest with the Chicago Bears as a linebacker. And I'm wondering, as a linebacker, what's it like when you walk into that location with that team, with the history of linebackers that they have had? What was that like for you, Chris? And good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great question. Great question. I mean, what is it to be around, you know, the Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, and then after that, you know, the Brian Urlachers and Lance Briggs. I came there in 1998. And, yeah, that's absolutely a huge part of being a Chicago Bear. But the other side is we were the first one in the brand-new facility. So there's another side, this amazing greatness that is the monsters of the Midway. But then there's this old-school football that says these monsters of the Midway were playing at Wrigley Field. Their facility was at Lake Forest College. So as amazing as that history was, I was right there on that transition between kind of old NFL and new NFL.
Fantastic. On the WayForward.com hotline, pleased to have Chris Draft. Been a while since we had a chance to catch up with you. Always great to catch up with you. Thoughts about this game here today? Two teams that, you know, their records look totally different. One is still searching for a win. One is undefeated. But coming in here, what are you looking for to happen in this game today?
I was thinking about the game. And I'm like, how do you dissect it? How do you really absorb it? And I think it really comes down to finishing. So the Falcons had, you know, these first two games, you know, definitely Seattle was the hottest team in the NFL right now. Last week, they weren't able to finish, and that's been something that the Falcons have struggled with. The Bears haven't played well, but they found a way to win. And so I think that's really what it comes down to. Will the Bears be able to kind of do enough, not that they've been spectacular in these first two games at all, but do enough to win? Or will the Falcons finally put it all together and be able to finish the game out?
Yeah, trying to dissect what happened last week is cumbersome at best. But let me ask you this, Chris. Throughout your career, did you ever have a season where you couldn't prepare the way you were used to, much like what's going on in the NFL? And if that's the case, how long should us as football fans feel like it's going to take these guys to get into a rhythm that they normally would already be in with the preseason games and the training that they would normally be able to do? Has that happened to you, and how long did it take you to, you know, get recalibrated into a, you know, plain weight, if you will?
Yeah, well, I would say that there's always adjustments. That's what football's about. So the idea that having preseason is going to absolutely make sure you're ready to go, I think historically we've seen teams come out and go 0-2 and really start slow and then pick it up. So losing the preseason games, definitely have affected the makeup, but at the end of the day, you can still start slow. My hope really more for this third week is, and hopefully the guys have got their legs under themselves a little bit more, so we don't have as many injuries across the NFL, which, hopefully, that's probably been the biggest thing from the preseason. But football's about adjustments. So the idea of coronavirus being here and you're not being able to do all the same things, well, you know what? Everybody is kind of in the same boat. So adjust.
Spending time on the waitfor.com. I'm like, adjust. It's Chris Draft. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Draft, all lowercase on Twitter. Chris, CD, everyone's talked about the play, the onside kick, whether or not people knew the rules, whether or not people practiced that particular play, and we found out that you kind of don't practice it that way, but you still had about four or five guys with black jerseys around that ball and nobody fell on it. Give me your thoughts on that and special teams and watching that. Somebody just have brain freeze or what?
You know, Sam, so much of football practice is about situations. You know, great coaches put their guys in situations in practice so that they can perform on the field. And I think what you saw with that kick is the Dallas and the coach for Dallas recognize how people are taught. And so when you go over onside kick, you get your hands team out there and they kick one where it's a big bounce. They kick one where it's real hard. But do they ever practice that one that is so slow that it might not go 10 yards? Well, for the most part, they really don't. I mean, they just don't do it. So what you saw is four guys looking around and in that situation, because they haven't practiced it, they weren't ready to respond to it. And unfortunately, it ended up working out exactly how Dallas wanted it to. As if they paused, if they worried, if they thought, then it ended up being a 50-50 ball where Dallas guys are standing right there, Falcons guys are standing there when that ball goes over the line. And then it's a 50-50 ball, and whoever wants it more is going to get it.
Okay, that's one way to explain it. I mean, it's just, we've heard, and listen, I can't disagree with him because he's right. You know, people practice these things. It's just the collective cussing that was directed toward TVs throughout this city when that happened is something that I don't know that anybody could ever have explained, but you played the game, so we'll acquiesce.
I know it's hard. Again, you guys are, I have to give you a coach's perspective, and what I'm saying is if you don't practice something, when it happened, it seems like, what the heck's wrong with you guys? Just jump on the ball. I can't believe it. But literally, I have not been on a team where a guy runs up and jumps on a ball that's only gone 4 yards.
Yeah, you can do that, though.
What they would, you can do it. So
yeah.
The defensive, the guys getting the ball, they can go across the line after it's kicked. In this situation, they needed to go across the line and get the ball at about the 5 yards. Well, I have never done that, right? 13 years, never did anything like that. And I think that's what it comes down to.
Hey, listen, Chris Draft joined us, Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You got me thinking, man. I got to ask a question. What is that play, or what are those plays, if you got a few of them, that you'd like a do-over of now that you look back at your career, that you either were a part of or that you saw happen and you know on your team?
That's a hard question, man. I mean, I can do is I can give you an example of how I was able to adjust for us.
Okay.
Watching film with our special teams coach when I was with the Rams and recognizing how the 49ers, based on where they positioned the ball, determined how far the kick would go. And so we made an adjustment to who we blocked from the front line so that we wouldn't let a guy run free. And I think that's what this kind of comes down to, is that there's plays that if you prepare the right way, if you prepare – you know, and Bill Belichick, you see that with the Patriots. They've done just a tremendous job of preparing and then understanding the rule book where they put people in questionable situations because of that, too. So I can't think of a specific one, but I can definitely think of making the adjustment based on really just watching tape and recognizing that they're doing something different.
Yep. CD, I got to ask you something. The Falcons are going to play in front of 500 people today. And they're on their way to getting more fans in as weeks that follow. But most of these games have been in empty stadiums. How would you get ready? I know you're a game day guy. I've been around you on game day. Nothing gets you more hyped than that. But to go out and not have that energy, man, how tough would that be for you?
Well, again, you have to think of it. You have to adjust, right? We don't have fans at practice, right? So it's not like, you know, it's game time. You want those fans in the stands, but it's just what it is. But the other person on the other side, he is there, right? And if your mind is not right, he's going to whoop your tail just like if there were fans in the stadium, right? So I think at the end of the day, you just have to get your mind around it. You're not going to look up in the stands looking for people, shouting out to your family, you know, pointing up. But at the end of the day, you're playing against another team that wants to win. And so it is harder because you want that energy. You want to hear the fans getting hyped. You want that. But again, we just have to make adjustments.
And listen, Chris, we don't have much more time with you, so I want to tap into your football fandom right now. We've dissected the Falcons game and what's happened last week and what to look forward to this week. But as you look at the season so far, what's caught your eye? What are some of the stories that have got you worked up about football being back?
Russell Wilson has just played amazing. And not just that he's played well in terms of the stats, but some of the balls that he's thrown. If you have a real understanding of how difficult it is to throw those balls. I mean, they've just been amazing. Cam Newton be able to come back with the Patriots, huge. He has a whole bunch to prove, and it looks like he's ready to do it. And then just being able to play this season. I think overall, man, I'm excited about the fact that we're able to play and that we're in the third week of the season. I mean, if we go back 2 months ago, people are like, oh, is it really going to happen? Is it really going to happen? So just the fact that we're playing, regardless of what the teams are doing, is as a fan, so as a former player and as a fan, it's exciting.
Yeah. CD, got about a minute to go with you here. Bring us up to date with you and the lung cancer survivors. Usually on a game day, you're somewhere going to a game with some survivors. How are you guys doing that now in a time when you can't get together with them and go to games?
So much like everybody else, virtual. So there's, you know, opportunity today is to not be at a game, unfortunately, like so many people were sitting at home. But we're going to do a little workout at 11:30 with some of our lung cancer survivors and for about a half hour, get worked up a little bit, possibly a little meditation as we get ready to watch our favorite teams on the at 1 o'clock. And then hopefully have a little bit of a watch party. So instead of, again, being there physically right by each other, be able to have some of the survivors come together as we're watching the game and be able to share some of the great advocacy work that each one of the survivors are doing. And so, making adjustments.
How can people keep up with you and the work you're doing on that end?
So they can go to teamdraft.org. and ChrisDraftFamilyFoundation.org. And again, our the mission of Team Draft is changing the face of lung cancer, and the Chris Draft Family Foundation has always been empowering families to live healthy lifestyles, which basically means that it's a team. It's up to us. We have to empower people because it's not something that we can do ourselves. So we're empowering people to live healthy lifestyles, and Team Draft changes the face of lung cancer. We'd love for you guys to be involved.
All right. Listen.
All right. All right.
He can't be a stranger no more, Sam. We got to get Chris back more often.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, man. I see him on TV. He's doing all this other stuff. I said, no, that's our expert. You can't be doing other folks. But that's all right. We will get you back. Enjoy your day. Thank you, as always. Stay safe, my man. And as always, we just appreciate you coming on and joining us.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Chris Draft joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Up next, we have been talking about it and around the corner and all that sort of stuff with last week's game as we prepare for the Falcons and Bears today. But what we haven't done is given you, if you've not heard it yet, Dan Quinn, head coach of the Falcons, talking about it, Sam. So I tell you what, why don't we give them a little bit of Dan Quinn with our own Carl Dukes as we come back here next and we wrap up the show coming up on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show at the top of the hour. We'll give you that next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sweet child about Guns N' Roses. Anyway, Sam and Greg, you also check us out on the radio.com app. And every once in a while, I just kind of slip back into it. Check us out on the radio.com.
How about that?
Listen,
it never goes away, right?
No, it doesn't. Never goes away. You just kind of break into that thing. You're going to tell you, join me this weekend at Pep Boys. We're going to be giving away. Anyway, Michael Brian Goen. I want to say thank you. Michael gave us the last name we couldn't remember for the Fearsome Foursome. I mean, the Purple People Eaters, Minnesota.
Purple People Eaters.
Gary Larson.
Okay.
He says.
Gary Larson. That's it.
Yeah,
that was it. Those four.
Want to thank Mike. Yeah. You talk about me not jumping on Twitter once in a while. Man sent me something, and I had to get that cleared up here. Listen, we got an update. You talked about earlier one of the Falcons had a positive test. He's in COVID-19 protocol, but we got an update on the entire team in the game because there was some question. I want to bring Ken Roundtree, our producer, in right now. Ken, what did you hear?
So Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Falcons-Bears game is officially on despite quarterback A.J. Terrell being placed on the COVID reserve list. All ATL players and personnel are cleared for the day's game and no positive tests from the tests that were conducted yesterday. So
there you go. Okay. Sam, you had asked about that earlier. We both had wondered about that, but you had brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Who has been in contact with who and who would not be available for this game? Falcons already have a number of injuries. Julio Jones is going to be a game-time decision. There's some people like Kendall Sheffield who's not going to be available today at all. Caleb McGarry, a lot of injuries after last week's game. And so to lose now your number one draft pick, your young cornerback that you've been, kind of getting his feet wet right away to put him out on the field and get tested, to get him up to speed, and now he has this setback at least for this week, and hopefully whatever it is that has to be cleared up with him gets cleared up, and he's be able to rejoin the team next week. We'll see.
Aren't you surprised that Julio is a game day decision, as they put it? This dude shouldn't even suit up. Don't you think they should rest him right now? I mean, you've been using him as a decoy. It's not like he's in the end zone every play. So he's nicked up. We're going to need him long term, and I'm just saying, and by the way, I'm agreeing with D-Led on this too because he feels the same way. They need to just sit this dude down for at least a game, and have him rest. You're not getting a Vince Lombardi Trophy
today.
That's
what we may see today.
Yeah, you're not getting one. Was it 2 catches, 24
yards? You're
not,
but you do want to get a win. You do. But you do want to get, but he opened things up for some of the others, though. And that's the thing that happened last week. When he's out, he opens things up for the others. So we'll see. Want to remind people what we have coming up for you on Sports Radio 99 again. As far as games, since this is a game day Sunday.
Thank you. Been waiting on that
Falcons
all day.
Pregame at 11 and the kickoff at 11 o'clock, kickoff at 1. And tonight, instead of Sunday night football game, we'll have Atlanta United against the Chicago Fire. Okay, mm-hmm. So we got Chicago against Atlanta here. We got Chicago against Atlanta there. The 7 o'clock pregame and the 7:30 kick. That's what's happening. And then tomorrow night, of course, we have that Monday night football game that everybody's waiting for.
Yep.
Kansas City and Baltimore. That is going to be a show. Get your popcorn ready, folks. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Here's the crazy thing about what you just said, though, that you skipped over a game that up until last year would have been the game that we all waited for, and that's tonight's game, Aaron Rodgers against the Saints and Drew Brees. Two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks going at it. Two Super Bowl winning teams. That would have been the attractive game, but no. It's about what's happening tomorrow night. And I just find that interesting how the pendulum has moved. Listen, before we move on to some of these other games that we've been talking about, let's give our last thoughts on what's going on today with the Falcons. Not so much with the game today against the Bears, but what happened last week, how that game ended. And again, it happened shortly after we got off the air, so there's been a week of comments about it and things have been said. But for those of you joining us who didn't hear the comments of the head coach, he joined Dukes and Bell this past week, and obviously Carl Dukes had some things to ask him about that last game. Here's Coach Dan Quinn joining Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
So I want to ask you, the mental lapses that we've seen here in the first couple of weeks, you know, what do you say to your players, and how do you explain the mental lapses that cause us not to be in position to win?
Well, I think, Carl, number one, we said, no more tail of two halves. And so let's make sure this thing, we're ready to take it as long as it has to go. And the things I was pleased about, you know, seeing the turnover margin improve, seeing us have, you know, the protection and stay committed to the run game. So those things I liked, but this thing has got to go the whole time, man. So, no more tail of two halves. It has to be the whole thing. So, as you're an angry team and you want to make sure you're, setting the course for the whole entire game. And so that's what we, our intent is and what we're looking to do this weekend for damn sure.
Coach, I just want to ask you this because to me this was one of the most frustrating things, and I know we're trying to get this corrected. And I just want to know what you're saying to Raheem and the defense. But in the second half we gave up 30 points, and they had four drives of over 70 yards. I know you're a defensive guy. What the hell are you saying to Raheem and these guys to correct those mistakes and certainly cut down on the amount of points we're giving up? 38 in week one, 40 in week two. What are you saying to them, Coach?
Yeah, I would say that, the standard that we want to set is really high. And so when you don't meet it and you don't hit the mark like you want to, you want to go back into the lab and make sure you're getting the corrections done, you're getting the things done that you want to get done. So we were pleased to see the ball come alive in the first half. Forcing some fumbles and creating some short field. And so that has to be, like I said, man, you can't have a tale of two halves, where it's strong here, not here. So we're working day and night to make sure we find the right tweaks, the right balance, so we can play like we're capable of. And no one has a higher standard than we do about how we want to play. And so we're going to work our asses off to make sure we get into that spot because for everybody, it wasn't to the standard we want to play at. And we recognize that. Working hard to address that.
That is Falcons head coach Dan Quinn joining Sam and Greg, Dukes and Bell this past week here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam, your thoughts?
Yep. He explained it away about as best as he could and used some very pointed words to show his displeasure and maybe a little bit of what may have been heard in some of the locker rooms or some of the team meetings this week. Some things that can't be tolerated and some things that must be cleaned up, not would like to get cleaned up, but some things that must be cleaned up. And they're doing it possibly shorthanded. Like we said earlier, there are a number of guys who are nicked up and banged up and may not be ready to go today. But whoever's there has to be able to go out there and execute and finish and get a win.
Yeah, you're right. He says the right things. Passion has never been at a shortage with this team, so we know that's there. It's the execution that makes people want to walk into traffic at times, and so I got what I expected from him as far as his response to, I'm sure, the many questions he got involving how that game ended last week. But listen, it's all about what happens when the whistle blows today. So we'll see. We got a Bears team that doesn't play like the other 2-0 teams, and you guys, meaning the Falcons, probably don't feel like you're an 0-2 team, so let's see what happens. I don't have any other intelligent things to say about breaking down or what I think is going to happen. I'm curious to see who steps up, because I really do believe they should sit Julio. So, you know, maybe this is a Calvin Ridley game where he breaks out last, 16 receptions, 213 yards, you know, 4 TDs. Last week, I'm just saying.
I work with that. I work with that. Go ahead and find him. Let's go with Hayden Hurst, the big tight end. Let's let him touch the ball some more too. You know, we got some guys who can still move things forward. You'd like to have Julio out there, but you want to have him for the rest of the season because you haven't played your first division game yet.
So anyway, what else are you looking for as we go around the NFL? We talked about a couple of the night games, the primetime games. I am really, really, really looking forward to seeing New England and Las Vegas. Got to say that. It's just Las Vegas. John Gruden takes the Patriots to takes the Raiders to New England. Looking forward to that game. I don't know. How many 49ers are left? Did they have to go over to the University of Stanford and get some players? I mean,
yeah, really, Garoppolo's man. They going back put those into the game. In. But,
go ahead.
And I think the 4 o'clock game. Cowboys, let's see if what they did last week was real. They get the Seahawks. Let's see what they can do with Russell Wilson. That's a 4:25 game today.
Yeah, they're going to kill him. Seahawks are going to kill the Cowboys. Ken Roundtree, thank you for the work you've done. I'm not sure if we got Ken one more week or if he's going to come take a week off and come back to us, but for everything that you've done, thank you. Sam, have yourself a great day and enjoy your week. And coming up next, we've got the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, followed by Countdown to Kickoff. It's a full day of football, and it continues next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.